any other road business we need to change? By the recording on
understand that we are attempting to have a recorded session for the last hour that we can post to the website and that our membership can access off the website and have something intelligible. Not the melee we had the last month would be impossible to follow the recording that we did. It's just there's just no way to do it. If you're on the Zulu and you want to listen to it, it's with it. Say it. That's frustrating. So if we put this first hour on the website and see what our membership in the remote areas thinks of that as a meaningful listen to it.
I'd like to say that it's just easy for me sitting here to have a structured hour of lecture. So
hopefully our listeners are membership will all
I don't know if that's we'll five of them.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the melee.
Yes.
Paul,
thank you. Before we jump into the melee, let me just mention about the coming months, what's coming up. We have next month Mike Nolan and Jonelle Lewis are going to do the presentation on Chapter 5, which is entering and editing data, which we'll get into more of what we have here. That's the July program. The August program, we're going to take a little bit of a breather and go back and look at the main points in the first five chapters of the book. And Clive Roby will take us through some of the high points as he has identified them. And others of us will draw on what's in our own personal projects and talk about how we have applied these ideas successfully or unsuccessfully in our own projects. Which would so we won't be using the database particularly in August for that, but this is kind of taking it away from this exercise of creating a new ever-evolving database and looking at it in the context of what we do in our own personal projects. And then for September and October we get on to chapters 6 and 7. John Clark is lined up to do the presentation in November, but we don't have anyone on tap at the moment for the one in September or the one in October, and they are on, as I remember very clearly after looking at the book, working with sources is chapter 6, and then chapter 7 is setting up reports. So we do need volunteers to come forward and help us out with those particular sessions. So, all right, at this point, let's dive into the melee. Now, does everyone have the handout? Here we go. Is there a question?
Can you put the microphone closer to your mouth?
Okay, is this a little bit closer?
A little better.
All right, that's a little bit better. Does everyone have this? Okay. Because we've got a new member of the Alexander family. We were looking for someone who could come in and join the family, and we found in this man, Mr. Milosh, who was, as it turns out, he is sort of made up, but there really was a person with a name sort of like that who was born at the same time in Vilnius. And we thought about the woman who is the granddaughter of John Alexander, who is in our bookmark, as you see our bookmark here. We've got Louise Kyle Baldwin, and she is, as it turns out, she is Bob Belkey's grandmother. So I didn't know that, and so we're not going to take liberties with Bob Belkey's sainted grandmother, but we are going to talk to we'll talk about her her cousin, who is the daughter of the Louise Kyle Baldwin's aunt, Annie Eliza Alexander. And she has a daughter, Mary Virginia Fugate. And as far as we know from the from what the information is in the database, Mary Virginia Fugate was never married. And we thought that was a shame. And that this man, Mr. Nemos, happened to be in Nashville at the time. I think he had come over after the war and was involved in the country music business somehow. And they, so they had a something that, you know, led to a marriage. So this is what we're going to do. Now the problem with this is, as you can see, we have a birth date for him in the handout, you see, but his name is spelled, probably, he's got three different possible names. In the marriage license that we supposedly found, it says that this is a marriage between A-N-D-R-E-J, Andrew Nelosh. But we are pretty sure that his name was really not spelled A-N-D-R-E-J, but it should be A-N-D-R-Z-E-J, which is the usual Polish way of spelling his name. And it says on the marriage license that he is born in Vilnius, Lithuania. Well, Vilnius is currently the capital of Lithuania, but in 1917 it was under German occupation, but it was part of Russia, part of the Russian Empire. So it was actually Vilnius, Russia. So we have some things we need to deal with as we enter him. Okay, so we're going to add this this gentleman, and then I want to ask your opinion as to what we should be doing. Okay, so we're adding. So we go up to add, and we hit that, and we're going to add a husband to Mary Virginia Fugate.
Expand that screen. Yeah. Maximize.
I think. You want that one?
Yeah.
You want that right? Okay, good. Okay. Now, the question is, we know his surname is Nelosh, which is easy enough to handle. And so I'm going to write in here. And I hope so. I'm going to write in N-I-L-O-S-C. And we know he was born on the... he was born on the 18th of April, 1917. And we know he was born in Vilnius. There's no question about that. And we know he... and then we're going to go down here to the marriage, because we know something about the marriage. We know that they actually were married on the 17th of June, 1956, in Nashville. Which is in Davidson County, Tennessee. Do you mind if we put in TN? Yeah. Shall we put in TN or shall we write out Tennessee? We're always writing it out, somebody says. That seems to be the. Alright. Okay. And can we agree that we don't have to put in the country?
Yeah.
Alright, thank you. All right. So then we go. Now we're going to go back up, and you see that we have a little bit of a problem. So is his name going to be the name that is on the marriage certificate? Now we know, as it says here, that the spelling that's on the marriage certificate of A N D R EJ, however you pronounce that, whether it's Andrej or something, is not usually used by the Poles. And also on the marriage certificate, there is somebody has penciled out the A-N-D-R-E-J and penciled in A-N-D-R-Z-E-J, which is the usual spelling. So which one do you think we ought to put as his name? And the other option, of course, would be to put in Andrew, which is the name by which he was most commonly known in the United States after he came over to the U.S. after the war. What would you do? Oops. I'm sorry. You'd put in the pencil. Who? How many people would put in what's in the marriage license? Six or seven. How many would put in the pencil name, the probably correct name? All right, we've got four or five of those. Six or seven. Okay. All right, and how many would put in Andrew? Okay, we've got we are pretty well divided into three already. This is good. We're off a very good start. Now, would somebody please? I want to hear an argument for the penciled in name. Penciled in name. Who's got the argument for the penciled in name?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a legal document. It's the only existing document with a written name on it. And somebody corrected that, probably recognizing that as the error in the original license. So that's probably the closest thing you've got to an accurate document.
I see. And even though we don't know who penciled it in,
that's correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, what's the argument for putting the name that is actually on the marriage license as his name? I mean, this is the only record we have about this guy. We know nothing about where he died. We have no obituary. We have no. There was nothing. The Hall of Fame in Country Music Hall of Fame doesn't mention it. There's nothing about him anywhere except this one document. Yes?
I would argue, at least for the name that is using the marriage license as the source, that the name should be as it is written on that source and recorded in that official form. That's what alternate names are for, in my opinion. You may want to make a selection amongst three different names as far as the one you want to use, but if you want to, you should have one for what's in the marriage record, in my opinion, what's in the pencil, for my opinion, and what's in Andrew, what he's called.
Okay.
So you have three names.
Okay, now let's hear it before we get to the pros and cons of those arguments. Who thinks it ought to be Andrew? Okay, who wants to take that?
I'll take that one up.
Yes.
This is your primary source for his name in the index. If you're going to find anything else on him in this country, it's going to be Andrew, such as his Social Security death index. You have a name variant possibility, and you can put that in as an alternate and say where that Polish spelling is found.
Yep.
Yeah, the significance of this individual is his relationship to, in this case, this wife.
Right.
And her married name would become Andrew. And from that point on, that would be the most significant name this particular genealogy.
So she would be Mrs. Andrew Milosz. Yes.
She's going to be Mrs. Andrew, whatever. So when you find her, that's what's going to be important.
But not based on this source.
Okay. All right. Okay. Stan?
I would be inclined to put in as the primary name what is on the entree of the marriage certificate, but then in the marriage window, as the extreme upper part, if you've entered the other names, you can choose choose which name to put in the output.
And yeah, you don't have you're not connected, so you can't show how that's done. But yes. Yeah. Okay.
The two names in the marriage record are towards the left.
Yeah.
And then at the extreme right.
Yeah.
There are pull down menus.
Okay. We can demonstrate that in a minute. Then. Okay. All right. Any other comments about the different arguments? We've got really good arguments for all three options, it seems to me. Yes, Mike.
I think the way that they've Andrew in the record is more of an alternate spelling of A-N-D-R-E-J, and it should appear in the record, but it's not his primary name.
All right, yes. Let's see. What's your...
But Andrew, or R-E-W, that's where it goes to know by. And if you're going to share this information with other people, they might start looking at it like, wow, you misspelled the other name. So I would spell it as everybody knew him as R-E-W, and then list the name variation of the Polish spelling. Okay. I have relatives with this problem.
Yes.
So if you're going to research Andrew, his birth record, his record, you need to have enough out of the Polish spelling of the name. So in your database, you should have, it's all date related. If you're going to research anything backwards from him, you have to have the correct spelling of the Polish spelling to research those records. But then if you're going to research anything forward as an immigrant, an Americanized immigrant, then you'll want to reference Andrew, but I think as his primary name, you would have his birth name. A correct spelling of the birth name for research purposes, then you would know on the marriage certificate, it was spelled this way.
But the correct name on the birth certificate, the correct birth name is not the one that is on the marriage certificate.
No, you have to know where you're deriving this information.
Okay. Do we agree that all three names should be up there?
Yeah.
So you have one primary name and you have two variations, possibly a third if you want to put in Andy. Yeah. Yeah. You had.
I was just going to say, somebody said that the Social Security index was going to be an Andrew. I don't think you have any idea that would be so. Because it depends on what he puts on his application, and he may have put his name as he's always written on. That doesn't say that his neighbors don't call him Andy. They probably did. Uh-huh. But I don't think you have any idea which one is on official documents in the country. So to make that assumption, I think, is faulty if you look at it.
Okay, so what we'll do is we will put one of these names as primary, and the choice I think should be decided by vote. This is TNT after all. You can do it any way you want to do it. We've got to do it somehow. So we're gonna do this, and after this, whether Vilnius is in Lithuania or Russia will be easy.
Yes, do we know on the license whether that typographical error correction was done at the time of the marriage?
No, we have no idea. We have no idea. All we know that is Lisa Sergel's imaginary documents of the family, there is this imaginary, contentious marriage license that's got to write something written on it.
I mean, I don't know if the groom has to sign his name, but he might have corrected it.
No, I don't think so.
I've had completion records where they've gone back to naturalization, and they've gone back and they have lined out and handwritten the correct spelling.
Yes.
So that the naturalization record would be correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not unusual that there's certain things to
they
be
done. They do that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I have one that I kind of cheated on my own. I have a William who was sometimes Wilhelm. I put him in as William / Wilhelm, so I can recognize right away that he's not another William with the same last name.
Oh, I see. That's one thing is to put in a name, and we could actually do that. We could put, you know, Andridge with a Z and Andridge without the Z as his primary name. Also, that is an option.
Let me lobby for. When you add people using the add person screen, you're only allowed to put one source. Okay, so the source that's going to be applied to that name tag from this screen is whatever source you put down there. So if you're using the marriage license as your source, you, in my opinion, would put in whatever was on the marriage license here.
Agreed.
The source sticks to that tag, and then when you get that into his person, once you've made him, then you can add another name tag and then make that name tag primary. But here, because the source gets applied to any of the tags you fill out, you want to put whatever's on that source in here and then fix it once the person opens up.
Yes, but you can still use either ANDRZEJ or EJ. And source it to the marriage license, because both of those spellings are on the marriage license itself.
Following up on what Janet said, when I add a new person, I never put the source or the security, because you're going to have a difference the citation detail for the name, for the birth, for the marriage, for every event relating to that person. I leave the whole thing blank at this stage and edit them individually. Otherwise, you have to change a whole bunch of them when you are editing.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's move towards the vote. Yes,
can I ask a question about that? Because I'm not that conversant with reports yet. And it seems to me like when you have a person that gives you all those citations that you have on the person, if you don't put it in here, and you just put it in on the individual tag, does that make it read better in the report? Does that make sense?
I don't know, but I think we'll get to that at another stage. Yes.
I agree with Jan that we should have the name as it appears on the record, but the penciled in ought to be a footnote to that record and not part of the actual name.
Okay. So, all right. So, if you didn't hear it, he said that he thinks that there ought to be a footnote about the penciled in version of what is actually on the marriage certificate. So, I don't know. Okay. So let's have the we've got the ANDRZEJ, the ANDRZEJ, and we've got Andrew as the three. So let's start with ANDREJ. As is on the, how many votes do we have for that? This is what it's.
It's got to include Andrew.
Yeah. Okay. And
both names have to show.
And both names as the primary.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have a point here. So we have Andrew with Andridge without the Z, and then Andrew with the quotes as the primary name. Huh? Is that the only people? Is that the only people?
What I would do, I'm sorry, there is another field in the name tag, which is called a memo field, and that's where you can put this note.
Right.
Okay? But you can't see it on the ad person screen the way the ad person screen is set up. Okay, so you can actually have...
Right. We're trying to go from this to the actual putting it in, and then you'll see the record, and you have the tag, and you can do all the fooling around with that. But we got to do the play. We'll get to the play. Up here, are we going to say, is given the Andrew? Is it Andridge alone? Is it Andridge with a Z? Is it Andrew? So, how do you all feel about that? Let's say, is it given name Andridge without the Z, Andrew? How many are for that? Okay, there are four choices. One is Andrew alone. One is Andridge with a Z, the proper spelling of this. One is Andridge without the Z, ANDREJ. One, and the fourth is Andridge without the Z, and then in quotes, Andrew. So.
Put any name in there, you can click on that and fill it in.
then I would suggest that we do Andrudge with a Z under the name, well, and then on the memo field put the misspelling of Andrudge that's on the record.
Okay, what are we got four choices. How many people still want to have Andrew? How many think we're going to be Andrew? We got one. Okay, two. We got two that want us to be Andrew. Okay, how many people want us to be Andrej, A-N-D-R-Z-E-J? Okay, so that we've got five for that. Six. Oh my goodness, you're jumping around. Then how many want to do Andrej without the Z? A-N-D, oh, only, not with William, no William. No William. We got one, two, three, four, five,
eight. No Andy.
Or Andy. So this is Andrej without the Z and no Andrew. Okay, we had, if you put it up, I think I got eight. And then how many want to put Andrew? Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, you guys are really not helping. Okay, forget Andrew. You can't have Andrew. You, Andrew is out. There weren't enough votes for Andrew. So, among the three that we have left, how many Andrews with a Z? A-N-D-R-Z-E-J. Hello. We have 1, 2, 3. Okay. Okay. Now we have how many Andrews without the Z, as it is on the thing? A-N-D-R-E-J.
Is this
going to
be
just
for the
marriage?
I think for the
marriage. We're going with
the primary.
What is this
primary? I would never hear us even explain.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 11, 12, 13. Okay. So, it is, all right. Now, who wants to call the coin in the air? I mean, let me vote. I'm gonna offer a meeting, and then I'll call on you for a comment. And that is, if we're gonna put Andres, which is an inaccurate name, in here, it's okay, but it's on the record, and it's inaccurate, but it's on the record. When you put it up there, I don't see why we would be inconsistent and put in Russia. Which is not on the record. Yeah, we might as well have. You might as well be saying consistently with the citation, with the source, and then we can explain why it's wrong later.
Right. Correct.
Yes. Did you want
to? I agree with your logic because you're putting on what shows up on the document itself.
Yeah, okay.
That should be a whole memo.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're going to do that. We're not going to write a whole memo, but we'll still have a new memo. Yeah, fine.
West Virginia became a state June 20th, 1863.
Yes.
If I was
we're talking about West Virginia.
If I was born June 19th, 1863, I would have been born in the state of Virginia.
Yes.
However, on my marriage license, 20 years later, I would have said Virginia, but somebody else who perhaps didn't know the geography or the history of that particular conversion, might have said, he was born in West Virginia.
Right.
Okay, and put that on the marriage record.
Right.
But in reality, if you check his history, like you just described this,
yeah,
he was born in Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking it's a rather simple case,
right.
And it happened all the time. It happened all the time.
I looked at not only the record that I'm looking at, but also history to figure out whether the record was true or whether history is true.
Right. I mean, either way, we can figure this out in TMZ. We can get the right information into TMZ to explain the whole works. But I'm just saying, we're trying to put together our data. Yes, right.
We're trying to reflect what the records, what the research shows,
yes,
and that has to reflect what's on the piece of paper.
All right.
Just in by amending it later, but you find out. Oh,
okay.
So it's not with the
So we've pretty much. If you don't mind my establishing a consensus, even though we had a hung jury earlier, that what we are doing right now is we're putting into the database what is in the record, and we're going to explain later how to do that. Let's get in and do that and practice that. So we have a lot to talk about in source conventions. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but one more comment from Sam.
In my mind, at this stage, it does not matter what you put in. It doesn't matter if it, because all you're doing is creating the record. You can edit any of these changes.
Yes, right.
With support for that change at any time later. The important thing is to get this person's profile in the database. At this stage, that's all that matters.
All right. I think there is no problem with that. Okay. Look, he's not in one of the current surnames, but we'll accept him. Now, do we have no citation?
Right.
I don't have a citation.
Yes, you have it right here.
I haven't written it out in his source.
No, it's number two. It's the marriage record we filed in Lisa Sawyer's records.
You want me to do that? All right. Okay, I can do that. All right, I can. All right, so then I will go, wait a minute, I will just, you know, I'll just go down and do a source. I'll just do a citation. Here, I'll add the citation. And the citation is number, what number?
Two,
I think, two. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. All right. So there is it. It's somewhere in Waterman.
No.
That's not right.
Those notes were in Lisa Sorgel's papers.
Yeah, these notes were in Lisa Sorgel's papers. But it's not a proper citation, but I can put it in. Would you like me to do that or take it out? Okay. I have no citation.
No, keep going.
Ask your question. Yes.
I could write it on a new source.
No,
I know.
But here it says under fictitious reference, it says Davidson County.
Yes, I know. But how can I can't?
Number whatever.
I don't have a. I don't know. I don't have a source that says that. I can create a source, but I'm saying let's move on and not create a source. That's my point. Okay. Let's not have a source. You want to? Yes, I do. And so we're just going to go and we're going to say there is no accepted, and there is no citation. We're continuing anyway. Okay. Do we want her to have a married name as Nilo? I think she would like to have a married name. I think she would be a proper woman, and she would not really approve of not having that. Okay, so there he is. Okay, now we have. Okay, now we have a name. Now we need to put in the different. I hit the add a tag thing, and we need a name variation, which we could have gotten to with Control V, but we didn't. So. Here we are. There's a name variation. And so we select it. And the thing about, so we will say that he is, we're going to say that he is Andridge. We have to put in the whole thing. And then in the memo field, we can say, usual Polish spelling with it. I can also pencil
notation on that.
Pencil notation on record. Okay. Also pencil notation on marriage license. Okay. All right. So that's his very okay. And we don't have any on marriage. Well, I could even say on marriage license. Number 33333 in Davidson County. And let's see. Okay, is that all right? Looks like all right. As a thing. Okay, now we want to have. There's no citation, sort of citation, never mind. Okay. Now I'll have another name variation, which would be Andrew. Instead of doing this, I'm going to go to Control V. Okay? And that gets me to the same place. So this takes him, Andrew. Do we want to put Andrew Andy? Or do we just want to call him Andrew? Okay.
I think Andrew is not a. It's a name variation, but.
All right.
I'll skip that.
Okay. So he's so we have another. Okay. And now we have no source citation. Oh wait a minute. No, wait a minute.
It's short date.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Should I put in the. So I put in the memo, just say, anglicized version, okay, but you can also say, Andrew appears on marriage license, maybe, something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anglicized version of appear. Yeah. Use commonly after immigrating to the U.S.
Andrew didn't appear on the marriage
card. Andrew in quotes on the marriage license, according to what I wrote. So it does. So that's okay. So we get that. Okay. So this has no citation either. Okay. Now, what the last thing on his name before we get to the place, what about Andy? Should we do a new tag? Right click, add a tag, and say nickname.
Did they call him Andy? Do you know?
Yes, they did. Oh, yes. Oh, they definitely called him Andy. But, I mean, there are some nicknames that you know are just going to be there, but we can just make a nickname for him. Okay. All right. We'll do the name Nick, and then we'll just say he was called Nick. He was called Andy. Andy. That was a good name. All right. Okay, so he's Andy. All right. Now for his place. Now, Kerry just likes to do alt. And if you will bear with me, I'm going to do an alt text. Is that okay with you? Here's how we do it. We go to Tools, and we go down to the Master Tag Type List. You with me? Master Tag Type List. We go in there, and we go down, and we see birth, eventually. And we go to birth, and we say, we're going to do a copy. Okay? I'm in birth, and I'm going to make a copy. And this I believe, is... Are you sure you want to make a copy? Yes, we are. And so, instead of calling it birth, as it is here, we're going to put dash A-L-T, okay? And birth alt, and then now we suddenly have a tag called birth alt. So we're going to close, and I think we have to do that. And now we're going to do a new tag, and we're going to go here and use this birth alt, okay? And we're going to put in this field, we're going to say, first of all, we're going to put the same date of birth. Otherwise, it would get all confused. 1917, and then we're going to say, 1917, yeah. And he is born in Vilnius. Okay, in Russia. Russia. And then in the memo field, we'll just say in April 1917, Vilnius was under German occupation, if you think that's interesting. Technically was still part of Russia. Okay? Alright, we have something like that. Is that alright? Okay, so then we do this. And it has no source citation. That's true. But we've got it. So we've got it. Well, so we can see that the birth is, and the primary, in this case, is Vilnius, but under birth alternate, it's got this. And I'm not showing you multiple lines. What happens?
Right click.
Display more road to rows per day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can have the show
show item tips?
Oh, yes, it's in the preferences.
No, it's on.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's on.
And then hold your cursor over
the.
Yeah. Okay, there it is. Okay, so there it is. Okay, fine. We're doing fine. Okay, so we've got this all taken care of.
Okay.
This is the end of the practice exercise on place and name conventions. Shall we move to sort of, let's move to conflicting data. Is that okay? Stan.
I've got one comment here, which I think the reason to whoever reads is not here, but anywhere. If you put in a nickname without a surname, it's not going to index where you expect to find it. I think it's important to put a surname in there so that it will index in the proper place.
Okay, good idea. Thank you. Okay, so that was okay. That was easy. Okay, now we're going to deal with this very serious problem of the conflicting data about Louise Kyle Baldwin's father. Now, to get to Louise Kyle Baldwin, we can just go up here into where we have her in the bookmark section.
Paul?
Yes.
Before we move on,
yes, go ahead.
Real quick, maybe for those who wanted to try and give him a different name, maybe you could show him the drop down menu to change the name to use the software as we just did.
We could, for example, change the primary. Do you want to do the primary, change the primary?
Yeah, actually do that in that way.
Okay, so if we have this Andrej Milos, if I go here, and then I go up to edit, and I go down to the bottom of this edit thing, which says toggle primary, the Andrej Milos will become the primary. You see? And if I go back down to where I was, and I do the same thing again, that will toggle me back to where we were, where we wanted to be.
Okay.
And you always use the asterisk, I think, to flip back and forth, if you highlight the tag down in the body of it. Press the asterisk key, and it'll make that the primary.
So he doesn't have that toolbar
open. I don't have that toolbar open. I guess you can do that. Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, so let's go to the conflicting data business about Louise Kyle. So I'm going to go to Louise Kyle Baldwin, and there she is. And her father, Robert Moore Baldwin. Well, you can go to Robert Baldwin. I don't know what number he, but you can always go to it, and you can always right-click it, and there it is. Here he is. Now we go. All we do is right-click it and say.
Okay. Right-click, and then go down to the list. You unselect this one. Right-click. Okay. Where it says.
Change focus to this person.
Yeah. I know, but there's a.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay. All right. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. In Lisa Sorgel's notes about this man who is her grandfather, she says that he was born on this date. The 14th of January, 1866. But the tombstone that Claude Gualdi saw out last week in Mercer County, Virginia, he saw the records in the library out there in Mercer County, says that this man lived 80 years, 4 months, and 28 days. And if you check if you use the calculator or you just subtract everything, that would mean that he was born on the 16th of January, 1866. So it's a 2-day difference, maybe not all that important, but you would like to get it right in your family history. So the date that Lisa Sorgel uses is the date that everybody in the family thinks is the day that he was born. But there's no evidence that they there's no birth certificate or anything like that available to prove that. Whereas you have a tombstone that says that he lived this many days, or years, months, and days, and that puts the date in a different place. So, what do you think is the birthday that we should have in our record as the primary? Yes.
Well, you should discount that calculation. Some human counted those days and could easily have made a mistake. And I wouldn't use that count in over some other existing evidence.
But the other pair that didn't need evidence never stand just always knowing.
I'm sorry, did you say what you just said?
Is there other existing evidence?
Is there any other existing evidence? And I am hypothesizing that there isn't, according to
family usage.
Family usage, right, exactly. Okay, so it's family usage. That's the existing data. So do we take family usage, or do we take what's on the tombstone? No. Yes, sir.
Tombstone was done contemporaneously with his death.
That's right.
But presumably, they know what date he died on.
They do. There's no question on the date.
They know that he died on the 13th of June.
Right. So there's no question about the death date, because it's confirmed. Family usage and the tombstone are consistent on that. But the birth date is a question. Yes?
I think the problem is the date of death is 80 years after the year of the birth. How are we sure how do you know they didn't make mistakes in the calculation? I agree. This is an approximation, but to take it as an exact date is very shaky.
Okay, so the hypothesis here, the argument here is that the tombstone, what it says on the tombstone is shaky data. It's generally shakier data than other data, even if it is not confirmed by a birth certificate or by something that is written out of contemporaneous testament.
If there are only two dates, Bob Belkin provides a nice out. You can put one date or another date in the date entry field. It will accept it.
Well, he will do that. He will do that. But I would suggest that we should do a we should go into the alternate line, or say we'd like one and explain why, and maybe we can talk about the examples of where exactly we would put that information. Yes, sir.
Well, I just wanted to say that even the person doing the tombstone only goes by what somebody told him. My ancestor, the surname is wrong because the doctor wrote the wrong surname.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So it's, yes, ma'am. It's,
you have choices for birth that are varied.
Right.
So you go to the variant birth, you put it in, you explain where and how you got it.
Right, I understand. I understand, and I think we'll do that. And in fact, we already have it, conveniently, we already have an alternate birth tag we've already just invented. So we can do that. But which name, which one do you want to have primary?
You leave the
tombstone
as the secondary.
Right.
Okay, does everybody basically agree with that? That we'll have the. Okay, we can move on to other stuff. Yes, we do. Okay, so the tombstone is
secondary.
Okay, so we're gonna put that in there. Okay, we'll just put a new tag, and we'll say birth. Okay, we're gonna add a tag. And adding the tag will go down to, oh, here, look at this, we have a birth vault. Isn't that nice? No, there's no death vault. The death is correct. Okay, so now we're going to say that he was born on the 16th of January. 15th of January. 1866, right? And this was in Tazewell.
that would be the 14th instead of the 16th is when they reconfigured it from the Jewish
side. No, I think that the 16th is...
Yeah, not here. It says here, he was born 16 January 1856 and not 14 January.
Yes, yeah, right, but that is based on the calculation.
And don't put in the date and place because it's not in your source.
Oh. Oh, you do put in the date, right?
You put in the date,
but you don't put in the
source, and you put in the memo section that it is recorded that he died at age whatever.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you can say, oh, I see. Okay, so you wouldn't put in the place because we don't know from the tombstone where he was born. Is that what you're saying? Okay, all right. So then we say that tombstone in what is it, Rock Hill?
Yes.
Rock Hill. He says he died.
The word was born.
Says live. Okay, live. Says he lived.
He lived
80 years.
He wouldn't say 80 because he doesn't talk.
Okay. Read. All right. Is that right?
Let's say
the
date of death. That's how you do
it. Says, okay, read, died.
At age.
Okay, that's actually what it does say, of course. 80 years. All right, okay, so it's 4 months and how many days?
28.
All right, so is this? Sorry, 4 months. Okay, 28 days. That's all we need to do. I think we leave it at that. And
but he, after
reading
the doctor,
sorry? He died. Okay. Is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we could, if we wanted to go into this in more detail, we could take this date, this one, and maybe put in the citation field. Just go to this, I suppose. Right?
Yes.
And we could write in the citation detail. Is that right? That there's conflicting information from the tombstone. Could you put it in the citation memo?
No.
Where would you put it?
In the alternate.
And it's already in the alternate.
I put it in the alternate because you're reading the
text.
So in the
third
alternate, I put a new
source
citation.
Okay, but there is no source. I don't know. Okay. All right. I have to make sure. Okay, we would put it in the source citation. Okay, fine. All right. Let us now move to source conventions because we just have a half an hour left, and I think it's well worth it. A half an hour to talk about the source conventions. Now, what I'd like you to do is look at the source list, the master source list that we have, and everybody should see it. Now, there are different ways to organize this, but Census records, four Bible records. We have bunch of books with marriage records and other things. We have cemetery tombstone records and so on. Now, let's go to census, because census is, in a way, easiest to deal with, because by and large, maybe there's some splitters here who put a, I think there may be a few splitters who put a different census source for each person in their database. But that's, let's consider that not something that most people do. And so people, by and large, tend to lump the census. They lump it by the place, the state, maybe. They lump it perhaps by family name. They lump it by year. They have different ways of doing it. And what I've written here is the way that Terry Regal, Sue Johnson is the woman who put together this whole approach that we're using here, and has done it in California. And I've been on the phone with her about how she does it, how her group wanted to do it. There's a distinction between the Sue Johnson approach and the California Users Group approach, because she could not persuade them to use her approach. So anyway, that's just sort of anyway, so that's good. I mean, this is TNC. Everything can work. But what I would like to ask is, if we were to take these sources that we have here, on, let's say, the census sources, and make them a little bit more to our liking, if we need to, how might we change them? And are there other sources here that we wouldn't want to change? Yeah. Go ahead.
I would take the year, the state, and the next lowest political division, and put it in that order.
Okay. He would take the
1830 Tennessee, Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. What would you?
Well, my question was, if I bump it for the 1830 census,
yes,
in Tennessee, then how do I put in the detail note that this is for this person and this date and this, all of that?
And
yes, you can do that.
I have to wait till chapter 14 to figure out how to print it.
In chapter 4. Okay. And if we have time, and maybe in the review session we can get into that. Yes,
please. I can't imagine how you would do a census citation by person's name. If you were doing that, what you would have to say is, I think, you know, that it was a particular page, because the census is the entity that you're starting with.
Right.
So I agree that, you know, and then the year of it would be the next amount of discretion you can get to. And then, of course, you can get to the state and to the county according to whatever political, you know, how it was worked out politically. But you have to focus on the census event in actuality, not the particular particle of content. I can't imagine how you can do it by person. You know.
Okay, let's say you don't do it by person, but you still have the option of starting with CEN. And if you like to do CEN, then that's what they've done here. This is set up census. This one is set up in here. It says census 1930. Or 1830.
But that's just the abbreviation.
Right.
Well, yeah. We're talking abbreviation here. Let me show you. We're not talking.
What?
The title organization is this way, and whatever your title happens to be, but that's the, when you go to the more. But the less is always the abbreviation, and the abbreviation is what we're talking about, because that's the easiest way to organize this. And so some people like to put in here and say, you know, this is the 1900 census, and then it's Tennessee, and then it's Davidson County, and so on. And then you could put in, and this is the family. You could even have a separate citation for a family at that level if you wanted to. If you do that, you that means that all of your dates, any dates that you have, would be in that group. If you had a let's say you had a book that title was 1865, the year the Civil War ended, you know, then it would be in there right there between the census for 1860 and the census for 1870. And so there's something to be said for not doing that. But state, county, year, or whatever. But is there one of these that appeals to you more than the others? In the organization? Well, okay. So there are three basic ways to do this. Yeah.
I vote for spelling out census, and as a lumper, I have in my index census 1810, 1820, 1825, 1830, etc. Then, when I want to fill in where I found it for that year, I put state, county, village, and if it's microfilm, the roll number and the page number. So you've got the whole nine yards. When you do a sort, you have to think of people who are going to read this, not just yourself.
Right. Okay.
So if you abbreviate, then you have problems.
Wait. When you have a when we get in August to doing the wrap up, I want people to come and show how they do things. Put it on screen, you can, or that would be the best to show how you apply your own the source definition and how you sort that way. That'll be more useful. But how would we, if these, and there are only 39 of them after all, it's not a big deal, to lump them somehow, but I assume that you're not saying we should have a separate category for letters. So we have all the letters here, that just takes you where you never find Frank Alexander's letters, because you see all these, you want to see all of Frank Alexander together probably, but you might want to have all the birth certificates together, or you might want to have all of the marriage licenses together, or you might have the death records and obituaries together. Who knows? Yes.
I like it just like it is. That's the way I do mine.
She likes it just the way it is. It's the way she does hers. Okay. Well, I think that. All right. So that means that lumping the census like this with by year. You say year, year and county. She was saying that Trish was saying that you would do the it's the census. Here's the state and here's the county. I'm sorry. Here's the census. Here's the year. Here's the state and here's the county. Does anybody have a another way? Do people like to do it differently? Yes.
Yeah, we copied ours. Well, I'm not sure. We pulled it off the internet.
Yeah.
And it's fairly complex. It has medical tags and so forth. But basically, we do it by household.
By household. Give an example.
The information for that household then becomes part of your source. And then you have all the different people in the household get that same source.
Okay, for census.
Iowa, age 699, dwelling 199, family 1
of Okay, historically, when is your biggest category?
The biggest
category? I mean, your first item and the abbreviation.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
so you're right.
It says 1860
line
of Bush.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You're starting with
sentences, though. Yeah. Well, your first
Okay, so you have a code.
Yes.
So you take the books, for example, and all your books start with BK. And we could do that for this, for our demo days here. Do we want to do this? I mean, let's get this back to census. Do we want to do the census the way it is right here and leave it as is? Or would we like to use something along the lines that Terry Regal recommends, which is pretty close to what is here? As you can see, he's got, except that he has the state before the county. But he has it, it's shorter, it just doesn't look as long. Does that appeal to you, or would you prefer having census written out and...
I like the way it's written out. Right here, census 1830, Washington County, Tennessee.
I see. All right. Okay, let's see what... Let's see what 1830 would look like. This one. If we edit this, and we made it... they were talking about the abbreviation field up here at the top, right? So this is how it would look with, we'll do it, Terry, first. He doesn't like to spell it all out, he just likes to have it right like that. Mm-hmm. And then he likes a dash, and then he has a TN, and then he has a dash, and then he has...
And remember, this is just the abbreviation. It's not going to show up in any report, right?
That's right. This is just so that when you go to your master source list, you can find where the heck the thing is that you're looking for.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem that I find. Washington County with period. No Tennessee. So,
you don't want this, but what I need to do is just put the year, and then all of the census years show up at the top of my database. But that's my choice.
Yeah, that's the way I
know anything that is just for the year is a federal census, because that's what my choice is.
That's right. And I do the same thing. But I can see that it's not for everybody. But, okay. So this is what we would have here, and then if we do the same thing for so let's take him and okay, it's gonna make it
if you do that, what happens if you have more than one household for that county that are in different pages? The detail goes into the citation detail.
Okay, thanks for that citation.
Thank you. Okay. So that way you've got your role and your everything right, because those are okay by county. You know, as long as you use the right role. Okay, sometimes it's just more than one role.
Exactly.
Well, not role, but yeah, what we're doing.
All right.
You can't do this for less than one role.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you can see that some people like to do it less. This one that I just put in here is the CDN, TN, Washington, 1830. So you could do this easily the same way, starting with the census, Tennessee, the state, the county, and so on. Of course, putting in something like Washington without identifying it as a county is could confuse people.
Except that's the age of the portion.
And that's right. Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That wasn't an 1830. It was 1840. Thank you. All right. So do any of you like this idea of these cones?
No.
I've got this sheet of codes here, and there's a Sue Johnston or the California group, and so on. You know, BIR, BK, BUR, Census, and MAN for manuscript, and all that kind of stuff. Does there make any sense to organize things that way?
Yes and no.
This is TMT. That's great. And if you like it, if it feels good, do it. That's TMT. I'd just be interested in some of the comments. I think census is one that kind of lends itself. When you get into books, maybe. I prefer county records, but census. Yes.
That should also be part of town.
It should be what?
Part of town. Federal Washington should be CEN, TN, Carter, 1840.
Oh, I said Carter. Okay, thanks. Yes, ma'am.
How are you distinguishing between whether or not you're seeing it online, in the microfilm, or in the paper?
Well, the source citation. I mean, the source is still there. I mean, you just go to the source, and it will have all that source detail in the source. I mean, because if you take this, for example, where am I? Okay, here I am. I did make this mistake about Carter. I think Carter County. You know, I don't know why people think. I was trying to put it in Washington County. Okay, Carter. Okay, but yeah, here's the citation, here's the source definition, and it says it's on the film 704, M704 from the National Archives, roll 518. So this is the information that you would have, Joyce, which would be there. It doesn't matter what you write in abbreviation, as Jan says, this is just for sorting within the master source list.
Putting that much detail on this place, you could have the census split over several rows. Here you're constrained to one row, but we see a half a whole another row for somebody else in some other part of that census, and you need to put in your title of your abbreviation, which alphabet block it's to. That's why I just have census, and I do everything in citation detail.
Yep.
Well, it turns out that
you write out it in the citation. You don't have it in the source definition. You just say that this is the census, and this is the basically the record group.
Yeah.
Because if you put the roll number here, and if the census is still over three rolls, which roll is it? Which roll is this person in?
Right.
And you're in real trouble.
Sure. So you can just put the record group. And then you have to write out everything in the citation detail. Okay. All right. Do people like to write things out in the citation detail? I don't like to write it out. But I don't know if there's anything better to do.
The pluses and minuses of putting it all in the citation detail is that when you want to cite that particular household record somewhere else, you got to make sure you've got the right citation details pasted in there. So the best thing to do is do them all at once when you're looking at the record, and that way you can just use the little repeat buttons and you don't have to fill it in all the time. But when you're doing it later, it's harder to do if you don't have a source that says so-and-so's household. You can't just pick it and plop it in. You have to go in and open something else and copy it and put it in.
Mm-hmm. How many people here consider themselves to be lumpers, and how many consider themselves to be splitters? And how many people consider themselves ambidextrous? Everybody's splitting? Okay. I think the standard just very much identified the approach of the lumber is the ultimate. And I think that
Donnell
has identified
because I don't know what I'm doing. And so I let TMG tell me what to do. So by splitting, it will give me that source citation, you know, the source information.
Yeah.
And it tells me what to put in there. Then I don't have to figure it out in citation details.
Yeah.
Because I do, I'm all making
So I have, like, so now,
I have the. I can help. Hello?
Yes.
Like you know, I actually created a source that had all of the detail, including the household and the record types and the short title and all this stuff. Okay? Page number, everything. All in the source for that individual household. The database gets from what you move. Like I said, 2,167. About a year ago, I started going to this, which is the huge one. Okay? And I'm putting all the data into the CD. But I still have individual ones for every direct answer, because I want to be able to use that in lots of different places to support the data that's in that record. So you can do it both ways. You don't have to do it one way and one way only. When you go down here, as you can see, my method of sorting it for censuses is by year,
state,
and county, and then the household name when I've got that and other. Okay, that's going to be rolled down. I got to go lower. Okay, and then from an abbreviation standpoint, the sourcing, I'm not consistent. Okay, I try though, so that for example, I've got all of my California type records. So ancestry databases that deal with California, or some other database that deals with California records, I put CA. And then put, in short language, what kind of record is it? And then those things you've got as a lumber source for the records that are in that, you know, whatever record or certificate or whatever you find in there, you would still lump it, and then you put the details of that person's, you know, birth certificate or number and all that stuff in your CD. So you don't, you know, totally just have birth records. You've got CA birth records, and it's tied to, this is the Roots Web database. And so, well, this is old. You can see from the number, it's 114. That's when I was really, really stupid. if you look at this one, I learned more. Okay. There's not that much more in there, but it's got the name of the database. I stick an A in it so I know it's the ancestry one. And then I have a URL to the ancestor, to where that is, that database is in the ancestry. I have not gone back and checked those all, but what I usually do is, for example, in ancestry, there's a, when you're in something looking at a record, there's almost always a little place at the bottom where you can see more on the citation. That'll take you to the main page for that particular database. And then I try to take that database link from the ancestry in this URL site. And that way you can know exactly which database. And I use their name for the database in the title. And then my abbreviation, so it supports where I want it. And that way I can find all the California things because they're under CA. They're not under birth records of so-and-so county in California. It's quicker than lunch with me, that's all. That's just my personal name. And it works pretty well.
Is there a way of going to the source and seeing who is linked to that source, the name of the person?
Yeah, where you can use the source in the report.
Report.
There would be a
report of citation, and I will.
Can you list up in the report?
List
a citation, and then I think I've got one in here for source number. When I did my lump for the census, I actually went in and physically made the numbers like 1860 or 1860, and now I don't remember what the number is. So I just type in 1860 as the source number. So I'm going to create the report, and I'll type in, and I don't know what this means. Okay, I'm just going to put 1860. Okay. This is my database, okay? I can't show you this in their database because there's nothing in there. Okay, I have 1,008 times that I typed the 1860 census and with so long. It'll come out eventually. It'll take a little while. I should have picked some of the shorter. It's coming in here. List of citations, not sources. And then, see, this is going to show you every single person, and then you can actually print the citation detail out as well. So you can get all the details for each of those. Hang on. Let me go back and I'll offer you again. Let me do it again. Okay. Report. List of citations. And let me show you what it is, okay? Sorry. I have something that I already used previously that I selected from. Let me show you what it is. It's a filter. The filter is source number equals and then a little bracket. Okay, so bracket, question mark, bracket. And then what happens when you run a report that says that is then you just fill in the number. So you can put in different source numbers and run the report. Okay? And so then when you create the report, what can I use? It doesn't have as many. Probably 1800, right. This only has 20 this way, because I mostly take my earlier ones I think are splitters versus lumbers. It's also better to do these in Excel when you're doing this kind of thing because you have more room. Okay, so you can print out, and these are all the different places, and then shows you who the subject is. You can also change your when you go into the report option, you can identify which columns of information you want to show up in your report, and get, you know, ID numbers and all that kind of stuff. You can go look at these people. But the ID number is right here under subject number one. Okay, so if you want a list of all the citations you cite that particular source, this is the tag, which obviously is my 1810 tag, even though it's truncated because you also, when you change your four things, you have to tell it how long the field is. So you have to change those numbers. We can do this another day. Let me show you one thing real quick. If you go to back here, go into your help. Everybody was asking that question about data file storage for moving to Windows 7. You go to the help in PMG and type in data file storage. There are two places in PMG help that explain where things go in particular. Okay, data file storage, and then data file storage for advanced users. If you want to know where things are going, this is a good place to go to. It helps you figure that out. There was a TMG list saying where Virginia Lake Block has a PDF file that explains all that, and Terry has an article, and I'm going to put this link, we'll get it in the newsletter next time around, so that it's in the newsletter, and if you want to try to use those links to find out where the stuff's going to be in Windows 7, that'll help you there. Any questions?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all, and we'll see you next month. The database has been changed about the with the tombstone issue and the new name and place of Andrew Milosh, and we kept the master source list as it was. We didn't change that at all by popular demand.
You couldn't figure out what to take out.